My friends in Christ, one of the real joys of my life after being here at the cathedral so many years is seeing couples whose weddings I celebrated and whose babies I baptized and who then moved away from the area return to the cathedral years later for a visit, this time with their high school or college kids in tow. I often find myself saying, "You've got a lot to show for those years." That's the thought that came to mind when I reflected on today's readings. Both of them speak about planting and growing and bearing fruit. The role we play in bringing that about, yes, but more importantly, the role God plays. Our role is not inconsequential, but God's role is what really counts. We do the planting, God gives the growth. And it's a wonder to behold, a little like those kids who, when I last saw them, were squirming and screaming at the baptismal font, probably a little of what we'll see today, and who a few years later present as pretty respectable teenagers or young adults. A wonder to behold. We witness this regularly, don't we? Our children grow up before our eyes, even if we don't really see it until after it has happened. In the two little parables from Mark's gospel, Jesus talks about the unfolding of God's kingdom in just those terms. The kingdom, he says, is like a farmer who sows seed in his field and then goes about his life, eating, working, sleeping each day. All the while, of course, the seed is sprouting and growing. He knows not how, as Jesus puts it. First the blade, then the ear, then the full-blown grain in the ear. Almost before the farmer knows it, it's harvest time. The other parable, the one about the mustard seed, gives us a little different look at this wonderful mystery of growth. Here, the issue isn't so much the slow, imperceptible, yet steady growth, as it is the wonder that there is any growth at all. The mustard seed is the perfect way for Jesus to make this point because, as he says, it is the smallest of all seeds, so small that it would seem to have no promise at all. Yet, from tiny beginnings comes a tree, big enough for birds to find shade and build their nests. Do you have any idea how small a mustard seed is? I once held in my hand a little mound of mustard seeds. They were put there by a Franciscan brother at the monastery high atop Mount Tabor in Galilee, the traditional site of the transfiguration of Jesus. As we walked together through the grounds, the brother reached up into a tree, pulled down a seed pod, broke it open, and then poured what looked like powder into my hands. He then looked at me with delight in his eyes and said in his broken English, "Mustard seeds." If I had sneezed, those seeds would have disappeared into thin air. That's how small mustard seeds are. And yet, over time, they become little trees with strong branches and lovely foliage. Small beginnings, impressive results. That's the story of God's kingdom. It is also the story of Jesus. Sometimes I wonder if Jesus saw himself as a mustard seed, especially on those days when he must have felt inadequate for the great mission that was his, and those days when he knew he was facing an overwhelming task. And did he feel the same when he realized how very unpromising those 12 to whom he was entrusting his gospel were? That ragtag band of clumsy, unlettered fishermen, tax collectors, and sinners, full of questions, full of doubts, dull, and so very slow to get the picture. Most of them were cowards, too, and one turned traitor. Mustard seeds, each one of them. And of course, Jesus' death made him the ultimate mustard seed. But look at what happened to that seed after it died and was buried in the ground. My friends, this is the story of God's kingdom. a story that has been repeated down through the ages and continues in our own. Small beginnings, unimpressive beginnings, but anything but unimpressive results. Think of the story down through the ages for just a moment. Think of the tongue-tied Moses. Think of King David, young and lustful. Think of Jeremiah, young and fearful. Or think of the young maiden of Nazareth, Mary, or Peter the fisherman. Think of Francis of Assisi, the romantic, radical dreamer. Or of Therese, the little flower with her little way. Or of Matt Talbot, the reformed alcoholic. Or of Solanus Casey, the humble doorkeeper. Or think of Mother Teresa, who, to use her own words, did small things with great love. All of these unlikely heroes prove that the kingdom is God's kingdom, not ours, and that no matter how unpromising our efforts to build it may be, God can make it work. This is a message that workaholics and perfectionists like me find it hard to accept. We are quite sure that we are in charge and that success ultimately depends on us. Happily, it doesn't. St. John the 23rd, the great pope who called the Second Vatican Council, knew only too well how painfully difficult it was to bring about change and growth in the church. He could well have given in to pessimism and gloom, but he didn't. He knew the parable of the mustard seed, knew the history of the church, both good and bad, knew how much God could accomplish with very little. And so Pope John never lost hope. In calling the council, he refused to let the naysayers and the prophets of doom have the last word. And when he would come to the end of a day with a mountain of unsolved problems on his desk, and I'm sure on his mind, with a prayer on his lips, he would turn off the light and say, "It's your church, Lord. I'm going to sleep." My friends, may the Eucharist we now celebrate keep that kind of hope and trust alive in us.